Practice Test 1. Listening. Part 2. In this part of the test, you will hear 4 short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions that are printed in the test booklet. Read the questions silently. Then listen to the talk. You can take notes in the booklet. Then listen to each question and choose the best answer from the answer choices. Mark your answers. You should mark A, B, C, or D. There are a total of 20 questions about the 4 short talks. Look at the questions. Then listen to a woman talking at a community meeting.
Hi everyone, I'm Nell and I'm new to the area. I just moved here a couple of months ago. My next door neighbor told me about tonight's meeting and I came tonight because I have an idea for a community project. My suggestion is to have kids from the neighborhood do arts and crafts projects together. They could do something different each week, things like painting, drawing, sculpture, you name it. Anyone could take part. They wouldn't have to be particularly artistic. This would be a really good way for neighbors to get to know each other better and for kids to see that local people care about them. I got the idea from a program in Baltimore. It's run by a good friend of mine who's an artist. She called it porch art because it all started on the porch in front of her house. She didn't charge anything and used her leftover art supplies. This turned into a weekly get-together. Then parents and other local artists started helping out, and it really took off. It got to the point where there were so many people that they moved onto the sidewalk. So what do you all think about trying that here? We could start off on the corner outside my house or outside the community center. We don't need much money. We can use all kinds of natural or waste materials like newspapers and old boxes, or maybe some local companies can contribute stuff. If you want, I don't mind running the first few sessions. But I will probably need some more people to help out.
Number 31. How would participants benefit from the program? Number 32. Who started the Porch Art Program in Baltimore? Number 33. What does the speaker need in order to run the program? Number 34. What is the speaker's purpose? Look at the questions. Then listen to a manager talking to members of the staff.
Good morning, everyone. Before we get started with our regular Monday morning meeting, I'd like to welcome a new member to our company. This is Chris Morrison, and she's joining our department as a senior engineer. Now, just a few words about Chris's background. Chris comes to us from AirTech Engineering, where she gained a lot of useful experience in developing navigation systems. She has a PhD from the California Institute of Technology. Some of you are graduates of the same program, aren't you? Chris will work closely with Ted Moreno, but the plan for the next month is that she spend a few days with each of you so she gets an overview of how we operate. We all know how important teamwork is for succeeding in business, so I hope you will all help Chris feel part of the team. So today, after we finish this meeting, Ted will take Chris on a tour of the building. After lunch, Ted will join me in the monthly sales review meeting, so I need a volunteer to help Chris settle in at her desk and show her around the department. So maybe you, Jen, or Todd? We'll figure that out once we're done with the other items on our agenda today. Before we move on, I'd just like to say how pleased we are that Chris has joined our team. I'm sure her input will help us move ahead into new markets. Okay, so now let's proceed with our meeting as usual, with the team leaders for each project giving us their progress reports. Who wants to go first?
Number 35. What does the manager say about Chris's background? Number 36. What does the manager believe is the key to success? Number 37. What does the manager ask for help with? Number 38. What will the staff do next? Number 39. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 40. What does the speaker mean when he says,
"I'm sure her input will help us move ahead into new markets"?
Look at the questions. Then listen to a school band director talking to parents.
Hi, I'm Hector DeWitt, and I'm the band director here at Greenbow High School. Most of the information you need as parents of the new members of our band is in your info pack. I just want to say a few words about what we expect from our band members. There are rehearsals 3 times a week, football games on Friday nights that we perform at, and marching band competitions some weekends. If you are wondering how your children will have time for all this and still keep up their grades, the answer is that they will learn quickly how to use their time well. And this, of course, is a very important life skill. Any time not spent in band practice is spent on schoolwork. There is no other choice. In fact, we often see students studying in the band room or in the corridors whenever they have a free moment. Band members must also learn how to be on time. When we say that practice starts at 6, we mean the band has to set up and be ready to play at 6, so they arrive at least 15 minutes before that. Students need to attend all rehearsals, because band is above all a group activity. If some band members are missing, no one can rehearse properly. Our musicians work hard, there's no doubt about that, but it's a great opportunity for them. I hope I can count on your support. Band is a great way for you as parents to continue to be closely involved in your child's life through high school. Now, are there any questions?
Number 41. What does the director say about playing in the band? Number 42. According to the speaker, how do students benefit from band membership? Number 43. Why must band members arrive early for rehearsals? Number 44. What is the speaker's main purpose? Look at the questions. Then listen to a radio report from a rodeo.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Around and About, the program that takes you around the country to tell you about community events, big and small. Today, I'm speaking to you live from the town of Pecos, Texas, where the annual rodeo is in full swing. This year is the 138th Pecos Rodeo. It's the largest outdoor rodeo in the state of Texas, and many people think that it is one of the best in the country. About 770 top-ranking cowboys and cowgirls take part each year, hoping for a share of the prize money. But it wasn't always such a grand event. It all started way back in 1883, when Pecos was a quiet town. Cowboys from different ranches used to meet up at Pecos and talk about who was best. Two cowboys, Trav Windham and Morg Livingston, organized a competition to see which one of them was better. Then other cowboys wanted to show off their abilities, too. The first competition was held on the 4th of July, which, as we know, is a public holiday, and so everyone came. That competition is believed to be the first ever rodeo. These days, it's no longer held on July 4th, and people travel from all over the country to be part of it. What makes the Pecos Rodeo stand out is the atmosphere. Contestants tend to hang around in Pecos for a few days to catch up with old friends and take some time out to relax, rather than moving on to the next competition as soon as possible. Whether you're a big rodeo fan or not, a visit to Pecos now is an unforgettable experience. This is Marianne Winters, reporting from Pecos, Texas.
Number 45. What does the Around and About program generally report on? Number 46. What does the speaker say is definitely true about the Pecos Rodeo? Number 47. What does the speaker suggest about the town of Pecos in 1883? Number 48. Why does the speaker mention July 4th? Number 49. What is special about the Pecos Rodeo nowadays? Number 50. What does the speaker mean when she says,
I'm speaking to you live from the town of Pecos, Texas, where the annual rodeo is in full swing.